Actually, America could use more of that music. That's music from Hawaii, the home state of the Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard, and we're all Gabbard today. We are Gabbard here today. all right, I will not do that again. This is the Taylor Report. By the way, you can write to us, the Taylor Report, at CIUT.FM. And, of course, we're on Facebook, /, The Taylor Report. We're on SoundCloud, Taylor-Report. And previous programs, including those interviews with Rick Sterling, who we just spoke to. We've talked to him about the Syria business. I didn't realize he'd been to the Crimea. Good for him. He can probably... the State Department may not approve of that. They do put places on the list that you can't go.
Well, one of the things they do is you can't use your American credit cards. You can't send a money draft to, like, a hotel in Crimea. You have to do all that stuff from inside Russia, and you really have to use cash, basically.
Yeah.
That's a great rule.
Yes, it's like the old restaurants. What is it about God? In God we trust, but everybody else pays cash. So now there's some other matters we want to talk about. I'm very peeved at the Globe and Mail for its continuing misrepresentation of the issues of China, because falling on this theme of Tulsi Gabbard, we need good relations, in my opinion, with China. And I would say respectful. I know that, you know, part of the old British Empire is going to have trouble being getting it right, but being a simple respect would help. But stories such as on the front page of today's Globe about situation of the Uyghur minority in China, it's pretty reckless, and it has all the ingredients. It says we have to sanction it. You know, the article mentions it brings sanctions against China. Now this is based on frankly, nothing. The article in today's Globe by Nathan Vanderclip, in my opinion, is what they call hack work. He makes a case by interviewing seven people, he says. They're not in China. But quotes heavyweights from the State Department or people, human rights NGOs, the usual people. An NGO is something two spaces away from a U.S. Marine Corps. But he does that. And fortunately, since I'm cribbing a bit on a really decent article by Ben Norton and Ajit Singh, which appears in a journal, I got to get my names right, The Gray Zone Project. Now, about a year ago, you can just go to Gray Zone Project, look for Ben Norton and Ajit Singh. Ajit Singh is a lawyer, a Canadian lawyer, by the way, from, I believe, might be in Hamilton. But he does excellent work. And they deal with this issue because this is not the first time the Globe, Star, and others have talked about it. And there's a tendency to pretend that all this is just simply a known deal, that the Chinese are repressing a group of people. So the title of the article in the Gray Zone Project No, the UN did not report China has massive internment camps for Uyghur Muslims. And they point out that Reuters got the ball rolling by a report in 2018. And it says on the day of the review, they're reviewing human rights issues for the world. Reuters published a report with an explosive headline. UN says it has credible reports that China holds 1 million Uyghurs in secret camps. Well, then he points out, and we've been noticing this over the years, the headline of Reuters' report attributed its explosive claim to the UN. Yet the body of the article ascribed it simply to the UN Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. And this committee's official website makes it clear that it is a body of independent experts, not UN officials. So Reuters really got it wrong. And I'd have to say deliberately, it'd be my impression. He says, what's more, a look at the official news release of the committee presentation of the report showed that the only mention of alleged re-education, quotes, camps in China was made by its sole American member, Gay McDougall. This claim was then echoed by a Mauritanian member, Mint Mohammed. So, I guess I'll read on. During the committee's regular review of China, McDougall commented that she was deeply concerned about credible reports alleging mass detentions of millions of Uyghurs, Muslim minorities in internment camps. Associated Press reported that McDougall did not specify a source for that information in her remarks at the hearing. Note the headline in the AP, Associated Press news was much weaker saying than Reuters, and AP said UN panel concerned at reported detention of Uyghurs. So I really urge you, find the article by Ben Norton, an outstanding journalist, investigative journalist, in my opinion, and Ajit Singh, a Canadian lawyer, activist, and the title is No, the UN Did Not Report China Has Massive Internment Camps for Uyghur Muslims. That was said by an American representative of a body that is not part of the UN. And as a matter of fact, they contacted the UN. Here's the response they got from that. They asked them in an email to the Gray Zone Project, the human rights spokesperson, Julia Govanet, confirmed that the CERD, that would be that group of experts that got identified, misidentified by Reuters as UN, that this CERD was not representative of the UN as a whole. Quotes, you are correct that the Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination is an independent body, Givenet wrote. Quoted comments were made during public sessions of the committee when members were reviewing state parties. Thus, the OHCHR implicitly acknowledged that the comments by McDougall, the lone American member of an independent committee, were not representative of any findings by the UN as a whole. The report by Reuters is simply false. And what is going on in today's front page of Globe is along similar lines. I noticed, and by the way, the article takes up the fact that in the center of the article, Vanderklip says, he quotes somebody who's been writing a report on bad things going on in China. And this report is from the Jamestown, it's the name of the group, it's a Jamestown Foundation. Well, Ajit Singh and Ben Norton in Gray Zone point out that that's an American conservative, let's call it a think tank. That's what it is. And two of its board members over the years who have been such luminaries as Zbinsky. Now that he's gone, I can't say his name. Did I get it? That's close.
Brzezinski. Oh, him. Oh,
yeah, Mr. Z.
Yeah.
Mr. Big. That's why
he's
I
big.
Get it.
Yeah.
Mr. Zbig. Yeah, Mr. Big.
Yeah.
He was a member of the Jamestown Foundation. And the other former board member is Dick Cheney. So, but the Globe didn't mention that. And it didn't say they were conservative or that maybe, I mean, let's talk about the big picture. Trump has decided to throw down the gauntlet with China. He's even had a Chinese company official arrested on his say-so by the Canadians. He just had picked her up. They picked her up, which tells you Can I bring in the word vassal? At any rate, they did it. But he's looking for trouble. He's talking about confronting. He's talking about sending the U.S. Navy. He does do it along the Chinese. All these this bully stuff. So when you put this article on the front page, I have a right as a reader to say, so you're looking to make trouble, right? I mean, you want to see if you can add to this, but without helping us, because why not contextualize it, saying the U.S. has a policy, growing hostility to China, and it's in within this context that I'm writing this article about this group, people, by the way, 11.5 million, I believe, Uyghurs. He talked to seven. They were not in China. They were in Kazakhstan. And he doesn't tell us how he happened to meet the seven. He didn't meet 10. He didn't meet 14. He met, you know. But it's spread all over the place. Pages go by trying to read it. I do recommend you read it because it'll leave you scratching your head. So he doesn't mention the context of hostility that we're in and why, you know, when, by the way, when you have hostilities and you're a civilian or non-combatant and you're trying to understand, you appreciate that people, those details are mentioned, you know, because you might have some questions. I don't personally trust an organization of which that had Dick Cheney as a board member. Now, Vandercliff apparently does, but that's his, we have different tastes. So then there's the issue that another thing that he does not mention is that in Syria, right this moment, there are an estimated 3,000 upwards, possibly to 10. The numbers vary. Do your own homework. But 3,000 members of the Turkestan Islamic Movement, and they have in Syria and a thing they've an emirate they have declared. The emirate is on the Turkish border. Turkey has been conveying members of this minority that care to fight, and in Syria they permitted them to pass through Turkey, and they have an emirate. They are, they say, them, not me, fond of al-Qaeda. Last time I checked, the Canadian government really wasn't terribly enthusiastic about al-Qaeda, at least not publicly. Publicly, they're definitely not. And the U.S. claims it doesn't like al-Qaeda. But this group, now, and so they're armed right now and fighting in Syria. They say they'll fight to the death in Syria. They've taken over territory there. That isn't mentioned by Mr. Vandercliff. So China is concerned about armed groups, particularly those that the world community has agreed are terrorists. There are some. Guess what? There are some. This organization has carried out acts of terror inside China using bombs and claimed it, said, we did that. Bombs on buses. They said, we did that. So there's a response. Nowhere in Mr. Vandercliff's article, top to bottom, side to side, does he even mention that. He makes it sound like just, you know, President Xi got up one morning and said, you know, I ought to pick on those guys. That isn't what happened. There is a response within China, just as in every country on the earth, Canada, Russia, the United States, Great Britain, Algeria, whatever. There has been a response to people who, in the name of a sect of Islam, particularly al-Qaeda, have decided to carry out acts of terror. Mr. Vandercliff does not mention that. So that's I'm calling him a hack. That's what a hack does, because if he was a reporter, he'd say, I'm really not sure about this guy. I talked to him. I don't know. He said, by the way, every picture that the Globe is going in more and more for pictures. So under the picture, he says he was put in a box and somebody hurt him. And you say, how do you know that? He told me. Okay, that's not going to do you much good in court. You know, I mean, this is not an investigative reporter saying, actually, of course, I don't myself know. Maybe I found him credible. He doesn't even say credible, not credible. He's credible just because he feels he's credible. This is the work of a hack. Let me repeat that. So, and what we should be doing, noticing about these articles is, why are you trying to make mischief? I mean, why not write a decent article. Why not say we interviewed this one, we interviewed that one? At one point, he had a funny item I liked. He said, the Chinese police, we tried to look into these things, and the Chinese police arrested a Globe reporter who was taking pictures of a prison. So I'm going to invite him to come back here and go to our super security prisons with his camera and see what happens. And then report back to me about how he was. They came out and said, oh, you want to take pictures? Sure, come around the front. You know, here's where we park and all. No, come on. This is serious. This is lame brain journalism. You can't go near. I don't know anywhere in the world it's a good idea to walk up to a prison with a camera, because anybody who's running the prison says, who's that? The assumption is almost prisons do have people inside who are capable of bad things. So who is he? And they say, oh, he's a Globe reporter. Oh, really? he seems to, by the way, he's been interviewing a lot of guys who he doesn't identify as terrorists, or we regard them as terrorists. So he doesn't seem to have a problem with that. And anyway, I'm just pointing out, use your brain. But it's insulting to run an article this bad, in my opinion. And not mention that there's a very proud organization. Call letters are TIM, and that's the Turkestan. It's really the East Turkestan Islamic Movement, and they said they set off the bombs, and they did kill people. And in one instance, they did a early morning attack on commuters with knives, and they killed them. They said they did. And Mr. Vandercliff doesn't think it's important. Why share that with his readers? Because, you see, if a reader reads that, he's going to say, hey, Vandercliff, whoa, 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 whoa. Did you check these people out? How do they feel about those guys? Do they have an opinion about the Al-Qaeda part? By the way, I can tell you this from my reading of him. Apparently they're all as pure as the driven snow. They just couldn't be nicer people. So, you know, that's where to believe that. So anyhow, this is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT. It's 89.5 FM. As I say, I'm cribbing off a wonderful article in Gray Zone, Ben Norton and Ajit Singh, although I did some of my homework myself. I'm not going to give them all the credit, but we do need antidotes. That's why by the way, you've gone to Gray Zone, Phil?
You checked them? Yes, yeah, and Global Research, which reprinted this.
Did
lots
they?
Of yes. Good. Yeah, this is from a Global Research site, mm-hmm. and they just wanted to point out, you know, that what I like about this article is that he compares the different headlines that are in the Western press, but none of them tell you, you know, that there's no verification of the of these stories. It's just this one American person who's tied in. She's a professor at Fordham. Mm-hmm. My old school, a Yale graduate, along with the Clintons, by the way. She's from the same year. And it's like
– that was a bad – in a wine business, that was a bad year.
And she makes this allegation, and she doesn't give her sources.
No.
Now, like what lawyer goes into court and tells the judge, I have this allegation, judge, but I'm not going to tell you where it came from.
Well, by the way, show that we're talking about a colonial imperialist environment – is that you can say these things about other people, but if you were reporting inside the U.S., Canada, they'd say you better put the word alleged. You better say claims, says, and you don't have to say you think he's lying or any such thing. Just remember, this is an allegation, and thank you for your work in Kazakhstan, which is not China. And also, do you get around and talk to other people? And maybe even quote somebody who knows a little bit about it, who might give you another angle. And you don't mention armed terrorist group who say they have killed people in China. You don't mention them. Baloney. Anyway, as I say, he's a hack. Now, other matters. This is Taylor Report. You can write to us, TaylorReport@CIT.FM. The Mexico news is, once again, important. We have a progressive, popular socialist, I'm going to call him a socialist, president of Mexico, and he's beloved, obviously. People really do like this guy because he's taking on all the big subjects. And he handles himself very well. He's not a rhetorician. Trump has attacked him over the weekend by saying, you do this. I'm just telling you. Now, their State Department, or Mexican, what their response was, we don't take orders. So, I mean, somebody called Chrystia Freeland and say, that's kind of important. You notice what he said? But quoting the president of Mexico, he says, I want to get along. I agree we have some problems here, but I'm not going to get into this personal stuff. I think he's really smart because Trump likes debate, and he gets you to come out, and then he turns it into his little carnival. But clearly Mexico is taking their own approach, and they've taken their own approach on Venezuela, which is never mentioned. Here we talk about the Lima Group, we talk about our allies, and our trade partner, Mexico, 1, 2, 3, Canada, U.S., Mexico, major trade partner. We're going to build up this trade business. They do not agree with this, do not agree with Freeland, do not agree with Pompeo or whatever his name is, Bolton. Mexico has got, and they've got a very healthy approach. They say, well, surely we all want to see this peacefully resolved. We all want to see democracy flourish. We all agree on these terms. And so they respect the sovereignty of Venezuela, very important. So here we are with Canada has a chance to say, do not talk to Mexico that way, and find a nice way to say that, you know, say that we value our partnership with Mexico, and they have many. We look forward to peaceful meetings that will be beneficial to all parties. But do that, because at the moment Trump is pounding them on the head. Frankly, he's insulting them, and playing the bully, and I think we should have an investigation. Is there a government in Ottawa? Just look into it. You know, call the researchers. Somebody check, see do we have anybody who might represent us, because Mexico is our friend. Again, this is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT. I think we're close to the finish line. According to Mick, we're so close, he's tempted to make that little thing with the throat. Anyway, do write to us, and thanks, Phil Conlon. Thanks, Mick. We'll see you next week.